Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. We're picking up where we left off yesterday, and thank you for joining us. You know, we've been looking at the woman at the well, but at a bigger application spiritually, how Samaria, which was once part of Israel, were now separated from Israel because of idolatry and because of intermarrying, etc., etc. And so the Jews considered the Samaritans as people to be avoided. But in the meantime, that's where Jacob's well was. That's where Joseph, where he drank from that well. And that's in Samaria. And Jesus was on a mission. He said, I need to go to Samaria. They could have bypassed Samaria, but He said, I need to go to Samaria. He was on a mission because God is always on a mission to get people to a better place than where they're at and to get them to reconcile to God. So let's pick it up right now and see how this affects the Samaritans, the Jews, and our lives today.
So God wanted to first reconcile the Jews and the Samaritans. John 4:6. Now Jacob's well was there where he was going to Samaria. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the 6th hour noon. So it was noon. The sun was at its highest place. Now if you look at it in Genesis 29:7, which I didn't put in here, which I should have. Rachel, if you remember, also came to the well at high noon, the day she met Jacob. She met Jacob, it says, at high noon, when the sun was at its highest position. That's noon, right? That's above your head. That's the hottest time of the day. And Jesus was hot and thirsty from the walk. And that's beside the point. That's not what it's about, that Jesus was hot and thirsty. The point is, Jews and Samaritans did not mix. They didn't drink from the same cup. They were completely ostracized from each other. They didn't commune with each other as brothers and sisters of a common faith. Jesus now is pushing the envelope. He's going to Samaria. He needed to go, and he's going to go and sit at the well. And now, when the disciples come back, they find him talking to a rejected, ostracized, mongrel Samaritan woman. Some people think, well, I'm so sinful, God can't see me, you won't talk to me in that. Yeah. Love covers a multitude of sin. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. You're not a hopeless case. No one's a hopeless case. Unless you're full of pride and you think you don't need God, then you've got a situation you've got to kind of work on. Amen? Verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, see, here it is. You being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman. How is it? It's not even possible that you being Jewish and a rabbi, because you got all the clothes on, you being Jewish and like a rabbi, and you are asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink, and a woman at that. How is that even possible? I love it. For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And they were one. You know, some of you have been divorced. Uh-oh, here comes another lead balloon. You were one. You separated. Doesn't mean you have to ostracize and reject and hate and live in unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness is harming you, not her or him. It harms you. God says, love even those that despitefully abuse you. Love even your enemies. So if you've been divorced, you've repented to God, stop being all angst against the person you divorced. So many people are living wrapped up in so much hurt, so much unforgiveness, so much abuse still in their heart and their minds and their heads. I mean, and men get abused too. Hello? They think it's only the woman get abused. We're not talking that. Women can abuse men more than men can abuse women when it comes to the mind. No, it's just the truth, right? So it's always lopsided, the man. What did he do? The woman normally gets custody of the children. In South Africa, she always got custody of the children, regardless of the circumstances. Always. There was no discussion. Amen. But the two of you were one. And then, like Samaria and Israel, you separated. But God is saying, don't be that way. That person you married was once somebody you thought you loved. Maybe you did love. Oh dear. I'm going to an area that even Billy Graham wouldn't tread. I mean, like, but we took your rocks away from you before you came in the doors. But it's the truth. It's harming you. It's harming your testimony. It's taken away from your life. Sure, they did some terrible, disgusting things. I'm sure there are reasons, and it's qualified reasons that that happened. But God said, you love even your enemies and those that abuse you. Well, they said, this is about my mother. Those that abuse you. Why would God tell you to do that? Because he knows you release toxins in your body by unforgiveness and hatred and anger. And now what's happened, when you still got unforgiveness, oh God, wow. If you still got unforgiveness towards an ex-spouse, it doesn't necessarily have to be a spouse either. Maybe you're living together. The woman, the last guy she was with, they were living together. She wasn't married. Jesus confronted that. Come on, I'm on Jesus' side. But though these things happen to you, even though they happen to you, it's your responsibility to forgive that person. Because what happens if you're living in unforgiveness towards that person and anger, you're living in the past. You wake up in the morning and if someone mentions that name, your claws come out. You know, the old man's supposed to be dead. He's been crucified with Christ, hasn't he, the old man? Problem is, we drag the old man around in a casket behind us. And we meet someone we don't like in Walmart. We say, come up, arise. Ah, there was a Jesse Duplantis. Ah, go get him. That's what we do. The old man's not dead. He needs to be crucified everywhere. How do you know when your old man's not dead? When someone says something and it feels like an arrow in your stomach and you want to retaliate, you're alive in that area. You have not died and given that to Christ. So now you've got to get rid of the... Listen, and I know they've hurt you. I know parents left. I know so many different things happened. But you're living in unforgiveness and anger and bitterness, and you're living over here in the past. But here's your presence. You're not in the present. You're in the past. And if you're in the past and you haven't got to your present, you're not in the now, you're never going to get to your future. Amen. And that's how the devil tries to keep us wrapped up in the past so that we can't move forward. He doesn't want us to move. He wants us to be stuck. Stuck. And then people say, oh, I'm just in a rut. Well, you know what a rut is? It's a coffin with both ends kicked out. You're just moving in and out, up and down. Let it go. Get rid of it. I'm sure it was painful. I know it hurt. I know there was abuse involved. I know they lied. I know they cheated. I know they did all those things. Let it go. Give it to God. Surrender them to God and surrender yourself to God. Open the prison door because you're the one in the prison, not them. Open the door and let yourself out by walking in forgiveness. Ooh, I wasn't meant to go this way, but anyway. Verse 9. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her in verse 10, If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Yeah, he's touching on the spiritual side now. She's thinking water, he's talking spirit. Wow. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Hello? I'm the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. Jacob's well there. Come on. Yeah. Listen, that was the lineage of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Come on. Sweet Jesus. Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Now, Jacob happened to have the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes. Did he not? And yet they've ostracized part of their inheritance. Wow. Think about that. You're cutting off where Jesus came from. You're cutting off the Messiah. How many people cut the Messiah off? I think if you walk through these doors, a lot of churches would say, hey, we don't need you here. We're self-sufficient. We've got a perfect program right now. Did you see how the music worked? Did you see the lights go down and come up and windows close and open? Did you see the controlled temperature? We got it all together. We don't need you coming in here messing up our theology. How many churches would throw Jesus and the Holy Spirit out?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, Lord Jesus. And this is talking about a woman at the well. So he says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Wow. So both Jews and Samaritans claim Jacob as one of the patriarchs. The Jews do, and the Samaritans do. They both claim him as a patriarch, which he is. He's huge in the whole scheme of things. Good grief. Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. The Holy Ghost springing up to eternal life. Lay hands on the sick, spring up to eternal healing. The hands of God touching people who need a job. You pray for them and life comes and a job comes. Life-giving, life-giving. Everyone put your hand on your belly and say, the life-giving Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water flowing from within me. And yeah, they're cutting off life. Wow. I'm telling you, this story goes very deep, man. Whew. Verse 20. Our fathers, now watch here. Remember the mountain? Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. That's when Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. This is Jesus telling them. Salvation is of the Jews, telling her. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. Doesn't matter what country you live in, watching by way of the internet. Doesn't matter if you're in North Korea or South Korea. You can worship God wherever you're at.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
Good Country homestyle cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant. Your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available.